if you are unvaccinated against polio, whether that's child, you know, a child or an adult, and poliovirus is circulating in the area, they are at risk for developing paralytic polio. And that can be prevented through the use of vaccines.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, what are the dangers of polio, which continues to spread in New York State? While public health officials work to contain the spread of COVID-19 and monkeypox, there is new concern about the polio virus. The New York State Department of Health says it was detected in wastewater in New York City, suggesting likely circulation of the virus. The warning comes after a polio case was confirmed in Rockland County on July 21st, the first in the U.S. since 2013. The virus has also been detected in Orange County, and health officials are urging all adults, pregnant people, and children to stay up to date with their immunizations. Joining us now for analysis is Dr. Daniel Pastula, a neuroinfectious disease expert at the University of Colorado Anschutz Medical Campus. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Ian. I really appreciate the invite.
So when you heard that there was a polio case in New York State, what was your first reaction?
My first reaction is that polio is always a potential, polio virus is always a potential threat because it's incredibly contagious and it hasn't been fully eradicated yet. So under the right circumstances, it can rear its ugly head, and that's what happened here.
And so for people who, you know, sort of following this and they've been getting a lot of news about COVID and monkeypox, what is the average person's risk from polio?
Yeah, so let me start with kind of what is polio, because some of your listeners might not be aware of it, or particularly those who might not have been around prior to 1950. So polio is an infection caused by the polio virus. And this infection in some people who were before we had vaccines can cause a permanent paralysis, which we call paralytic polio. And it's a historic infection. It's been around for centuries, if not millennia. If you actually look at some of the Egyptian art, there's evidence that some of the people depicted there may have suffered from polio. And historically, this has been a scourge throughout the world and communities up until the 1950s, really, when the first vaccines were created. And in fact, here in the U.S., up until the 1950s, you get these waves of poliovirus infections that would just hop from community to community, and parents would be terrified as they would kind of sweep through during the summer, and they'd keep their kids away from pools and keep them indoors. And that kind of goes back to the whole pictures of kids and adults in the iron lungs, for instance, the 1950s. And really, these polio waves would hit no matter what your background was. And in fact, one of our presidents, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, suffered from a polio infection actually at age 39 and became paralyzed, or at least partially paralyzed then. So that's just to give a little background of polio. And really, vaccinations came about the first effective vaccination came out in like the late 1950s, early 1960s, and we drastically lowered paralytic polio cases in the United States and across the world. And because the vaccines were so good at preventing paralytic polio, not necessarily poliovirus infection, but paralytic polio. So among vaccinated people, we don't see paralytic polio at all.
In other words, the virus is circulating, but most people who had their childhood shots are not really going to be affected.
Yeah. So we know that the polio vaccines that are out there are more than 99% effective at preventing paralytic polio if you're exposed to the polio virus. It doesn't necessarily completely prevent a polio virus infection, but it really prevents paralytic polio. And that's what vaccines are designed to do. They're designed to prevent severe outcomes and death. not necessarily infection. Although if they do prevent infection, that's icing on the cake.
How does poliovirus spread?
Yes, so poliovirus is incredibly contagious. So it is spread through contaminated food, water, and contaminated hands getting into your mouth. And that's either through infected droplets or other people's fecal material or poop that, you know, is in a lot more places than people think.
So for people who might be listening to this in some of these counties that I've mentioned, where the rate of vaccination trails the average or other parts of the state, what should their response be?
Yeah. So if you look at the United States in general, across the whole United States and every age group, over 90% of people are vaccinated against polio. However, in some communities and in some populations, particularly in kids, that number in certain areas can drop below 50%. And that's dangerous, because I think the biggest point I can make is that if you are unvaccinated against the polio virus and polio virus is circulating in your community, you are at risk for developing paralytic polio.
Meaning you're unvaccinated, the virus has been found nearby. Do you have time to go get a vaccine shot, you know, even if you're not a child anymore?
I would. If you're not vaccinated against polio and poliovirus is circulating, I would absolutely get talk with your doctor and get vaccinated against polio, because it is the number one way you can prevent paralytic polio. Now, to be fair, not everyone who gets infected by poliovirus who's unvaccinated will develop paralytic polio, but you don't want to be that 1% that does. And we know these vaccines are amazing at preventing paralytic polio.
And is the paralysis typically permanent?
From what we saw, yes. In a lot of cases, it is. Some people may regain some of their strength, but as we see, FDR is a great example where he had to wear leg braces and was in a wheelchair most of the time. I mean, granted, it was hidden from the public sphere quite a bit, but he regained a little bit of his strength, but he never regained full strength. And we see that with other people who develop polio. And additionally, people who may have regained some strength as they get older, some of that weakness could come back in kind of what we call a post-polio syndrome. And it's just because the motor neurons in the spinal cord, you know, had been damaged years ago. And as they age, they don't effectively work as well anymore.
Is the vaccine series typical to what we see with COVID-19, where, you know, people will remember they got one shot, they went back a month later, they got a second shot, then they got a booster? How does it play out with polio?
Yeah. So right now here in the United States, the current vaccine we use is an inactivated, so it's not live, polio vaccine. And this is a series of four shots. From kind of infancy up through childhood. And so a lot of times your doctor or your state health department will actually record these shots. So I would say if you're not sure you got the full shots, is just to talk to your healthcare provider about this. Most people have, because a lot of times schools and daycare centers require up-to-date polio vaccinations. However, that really depends on the jurisdiction and the type of daycare or education setting. So I would say if you're concerned at all, if you look at your vaccine card or your child's vaccine card, wherever that is, it should list polio on there, the poliovirus vaccine. If it doesn't, then talk to your healthcare provider or potentially your state or local health department that may have records.
Now, is polio like the flu shot where you need to get a new one every year, or does the childhood shot last?
Yeah, so we think that the inactivated polio vaccine is a four-shot series right now, and then after that, you are done. That we think you are protected for life in most circumstances. Now, could there be, you know, people like laboratory workers that work with the polio virus, you know, very, very closely and might accidentally, you know, get infected? Perhaps they may need to consider a booster, but the average person does not need a booster if they have been fully vaccinated.
So when we look at like those old black and white photos of Jonas Salk, it seems like, at least from my perspective, you know, polio is something that was figured out a long time ago. Is the virus becoming more dangerous? Is it mutating over these many decades? What does it look like today compared to back then?
Yeah, so, I think if you look at one of the interesting things, if you look at all these pictures, you could see the parents lining up. So like the parents and community members lining up to get their shots because they were so terrified about paralytic polio that you have these long, black and white photos of these long lines in communities getting this. So, poliovirus, the wild type poliovirus, has always been able to cause paralytic polio. Now, there is an oral polio vaccine that's used internationally that's actually a live weakened virus. And that, in the person that gets vaccinated, that doesn't cause paralytic polio. But what can happen is someone who gets that oral vaccine, if it starts spreading in the community, like they can start shedding that weakened virus. And if there are a lot of people in that community who are unvaccinated and that weakened virus keeps replicating in the community, it can revert to a stronger virus that can cause paralytic polio. And that's actually what we saw here in Rockland County is we think, looking at the type, that this is not the wild type poliovirus, but this is an international oral polio vaccine virus that somehow got into the community where someone shed it. And because of the low levels of vaccination rate in this community, started replicating quite a bit and eventually reverted to the stronger form. Now, whether this is wild type or reversion to the stronger form, if you're vaccinated, it doesn't matter. You're protected against paralytic polio.
Let's say you have a young child, and for whatever reason, you haven't gotten them vaccinated yet. In areas where the vaccine rate is well below that, 98-95% level or whatever, in some schools that we've been talking about in our listening area, it's like 60% or less. Would you just say it's unsafe to send your child there unvaccinated?
I would say this. I would say if you are unvaccinated against polio, whether that's child, a child or an adult, and poliovirus is circulating in the area, they are at risk for developing paralytic polio. And that can be prevented through the use of vaccines. So I would highly recommend they talk with their healthcare provider and ask questions about the poliovirus vaccine until they feel comfortable about it.
What do you think about the level of vaccine hesitancy we've become accustomed to in our country?
Yeah, I think it's about education and having the proper information. So I think there's a lot of information out there, some of which is good, some of which may not be as vetted or scientifically accurate. So I think it's really important to go to scientifically accurate and trusted sources for information. So the CDC's website on polio, I think, is a great source. Your state or local health department probably has information as well. And then finally, just talk to your healthcare provider. Talk to your doctor or your child's doctor or healthcare provider and ask questions because they're the ones you probably trust the most. And they're the ones who are going to give their honest opinion. And can really answer your questions until you feel comfortable.
Just one more thing. I know you're speaking to us from Denver, and I'm not sure what the situation is there, but New York was also the epicenter of the monkeypox outbreak that we've been seeing in recent weeks. How concerned are you over the state of the monkeypox spread in the U.S. and what you're seeing?
Yeah, so we do have monkeypox is circulating here in Colorado as well. I think this just shows that there are all sorts of infections out there that are roaming that under the right circumstance can start spreading. So I think this shows the importance of just having really robust public health surveillance systems to detect a problem when it pops up, and then response systems so they can respond appropriately and quickly to this. And, you know, when public health works, most people don't even know it's working in the background. But when we have an emergency, that's when it's so important. So I think it's super important to just support all of our public health systems.
In terms of public health today, obviously we've been talking about, you know, COVID and monkeypox and polio. What concerns you the most? What do you think about in the middle of the night?
Yeah, so I think, you know, with a lot of these infections, polio not so much, but COVID, monkeypox, there's this new report out of China with the Lange virus that's kind of been circulating on the news. And it just shows that there are a lot of infections that have probably existed for, you know, decades, centuries, millennia, that are in animals and in nature that haven't hopped over into humans and potentially could. And I think, you know, we saw that with COVID-19, and we see that with monkeypox. We see it with this Lange virus. If you look in the past, HIV hopped from animals. And I think it shows that we need to be very thoughtful and very careful when we interact with nature and animals, because there's this potential for anything that currently exists just in animals to spill over into humans. And it is so important that we not be reckless when we are interacting with nature and animals.
Meaning what specifically?
That we just need to be thoughtful. When we start, like whether it's wildlife or domestic animals, that we think about things like, you know, zoonotic infection transmission, or that when we're encroaching on natural habitats, that we're just thinking about these things, and also that our scientists are researching these areas to think about what's the best way to, you know, when we go into these habitats, or when we disturb these habitats, or when we interact with animals, whether domestic or wildlife, what's the best way to do that to minimize that spillover risk? And I think sometimes we don't think about that as a society. And I think that gets us into trouble.
Hmm. Anything I didn't ask you that you'd like to add?
Yeah. So I think if you are worried about poliovirus or paralytic polio, you know, please talk to your healthcare provider, or go to the CDC or your state or local health agency's website. And then realize that vaccination prevents paralytic polio, period. So if anyone's worried about that, that's the way to prevent it. You know, washing your hands frequently with soap and water helps prevent lots of different infections. And I think as a society, we just need to be, you know, very supportive of our public health systems. And, you know, just we should be more thoughtful about how we interact with nature and the and animals, because of that potential spillover of like the next zoonotic disease.
Dr. Daniel Pastula of the University of Colorado, thank you so much for taking all this time, and thank you for sharing your expertise with us.
Of course. Thank you very much, Ian.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.